to Ram, he was trying to take his father's place in his life. And Ram didn't want that. He wanted his dad. The only one who was able to really reach him was Reagan. She was about 14 at the time, and was the only person he'd talked to on the phone. Being here has been an emotional roller coaster, from amazing stories to such sadness. Ram has depression. Why did he never tell me? I scraped my brain for anything that would have triggered it. Was he ever depressed with me? Did he ever show signs? Depression is not a small thing to keep to oneself. Being allergic to pets, maybe. But depression? Why would he keep this? Again, the fight we had about lying surfaces to the forefront of my mind. Either way, he looks healthy and happy. How is my other baby? Still the mama's boy he's always been? Who? I barely register her question, still lost in thought. Roman, my eldest but biggest baby. Oh, he's doing well, I guess. He's really busy, so I don't get to see him much. Or he's too busy battling Andy when we are all together. Now that boy, he may never find a girl. So needy, always wanting to find one just like his mama. At that I laugh, because Roman seems like a well-put-together businessman. Dominant, always in control. I guess I never got that impression from him. Virginia snickers, taking a hefty swig of her drink. That boy would still have me do his laundry if I offered. He exudes this tough man persona, but he's a softy at heart. Still comes to his mama for advice, and ooh-wee, when he gets sick, God help any woman he finally holds down. He will make you reconsider having children of your own. Huge baby. She winks at me, finishing off her drink. I do the same, and as I lay the empty glass on the coffee table, Ram enters.
You two behaving? I hope my mother isn't telling you any embarrassing stories from high school.
He leans over and presses a kiss to my lips. I can smell the mint gum and beer on his breath. Oh, you know, just telling Danny here how you sucked your thumb until you were 12.
I did not,
Ram argues, but the gleam in his eye tells me otherwise. Either way, you...
Mom!
We all turn toward the opening of the study to hear Roman's voice booming through the halls. His large frame takes up the entire doorway, his stressed features prominent on his face. Oh, hello, dear, I wasn't expecting you. Virginia smiles as she stands to hug her son.
Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, he utters. I just need to talk to you.
Virginia smirks as if she knows that I need to talk look. Sure thing, baby. Why don't we chat in the kitchen? I have a homemade pecan pie, your favorite. You can fill your sweet belly while we talk. Ram and I both look at one another curiously, wondering what that is all about. Ram shrugs his shoulders, and after a few seconds he grabs me, putting his finger over his mouth, telling me silently to be quiet. We tiptoe to the kitchen and stand just outside the door as our ears perk to eavesdrop.
But she is just out of control. How do I please someone who is so damn difficult?
We both hear Virginia sigh, the sounds of the chair creaking as she sits. Honey, women are delicate creatures. Sometimes you have to allow them to express who they are before trying to tell them what they should or should not want. Roman scoffs.
Oh, this one knows exactly what she wants. She's like an untamed lion, with claws as sharp as knives. But then there is this soft side to her, where she's just so wonderful.
Ram throws his hand over my mouth when a small chuckle escapes my lips.
Shh.
He scolds me, that mischievous smile matching my own.
I can't read her. It's like one minute I think we understand each other, and the next she's trying to kill me. I don't know whether to kiss her or run for my life.
At that, we both start laughing. Ram pulls us away from the doorway, dragging me back toward the study.
You busted us, you little minx, you.
He laughs, bending down and taking my lips in a playful kiss.
Were you just eavesdropping?
We both turn to see Roman, not looking as put together as normal.
What are you, 5?
Ram wraps his arm around my shoulder, bringing me close.
Sorry, we were just walking by and may have heard some things. I didn't know you were seeing someone. I'm not. I mean, I am, sort of. Hell, it's just fucking complicated, okay?
He huffs, running his fingers through his thick hair. He grunts, then turns and storms out, griping over his shoulder,
Just mind your own business. We hear him say his goodbyes to Virginia and the slamming of the front door. As Ram and I look at each other peculiarly, we both share the same conclusion that we might know exactly what, or who, his complication is.
Chapter 14. Ram. Nice try, Ramio.
You're going to give me a daughter-in-law.
Mom's whispered giddy words keep replaying over and over in my head from the other night. Apparently Danny and I are solid stuff. I know it to be true, but I'm glad others see it. Now I just need to figure out a way to make Danny admit she loves me, too.
Where are we going?
Danny questions, giving my hand a squeeze. I flash her a warm grin as we pull up to the outdoor mall. For her actual Christmas present, I'd already bought tickets to Silver Dollar City in Branson. I'm hoping she'll be excited to take a trip with me to Missouri. Tonight is more or less a date night. We're going to spend the evening having some fun. We still have a week until Christmas, but I like dragging out her surprises so she gets presents every day. Her pretty hazel eyes sparkle with wonder, and I want to memorize her expression so that I can etch it permanently into my brain. Once we're out of the car, I smile as the brisk December air whips around us. I'm hoping, according to the forecast, that she'll get an extra surprise later. Danny clutches my hand, wearing a wide grin, as we make our way through the entrance that leads to all of the shops. She stops to gush over a window display with mannequins posed as if they are decorating a Christmas tree. Her smile is contagious, and mine is never leaving as long as she's around.
I love this place, she tells me with a giggle. Andy hates coming here because you have to walk outside, but I love it.
She starts toward the first shop that carries hats, but I tug her away. A look of confusion crosses over her features when I guide her in the opposite direction. At first she seems disappointed until we step into a pet shop.
Oh my God!
She squeals and releases my hand to kneel in front of a gated area with kittens running wild. The worker laughs at her as Danny scoops up a black kitten into her arms.
He's so cute. Look how precious he is, Ram.
I chuckle and kneel down beside her to pet the squirmy thing. Her smile is absolutely breathtaking as she nuzzles her cheek against him. We spend a good half hour petting every single animal in the shop. Once I finally drag her out of there, she's on top of the world.
I love them all,
she exclaims, clapping her hands together. With a snort, I give her a teasing grin. Well, cats are one of your favorite things. Her eyes narrow at me, but this time she doesn't resist when I walk her toward a candy shop. In the front window, a worker stretches green taffy on one of their unique machines. Like a little kid, she stops and gazes in wonder. I swear we watch that machine go for a good 20 minutes before I'm able to get her to go inside. From there, she gets sucked into sampling different flavors. Her thrill and excitement make me fall in love with her over and over again with each endearing smile. Once she's got a bag full of saltwater taffy and babbles on about how awesome it was, we leave the store.
Saltwater taffy is one of my favorite things, she says, chomping on the candy.
I laugh and wink at her.
I know.
Her eyes do the narrowing thing again, but then we're off to our next destination. The ice rink is bustling with people, but I'm only looking for one. When I hear a squeal, I know she's found us.
Danny!
Andy screeches and nearly tackles my girl.
Tell me why I'm here to skate, which you know is my most not favorite thing in the world, and why I was told to dress like a hoe.
Danny bursts into laughter and doubles over, her dark hair falling in her face. Andy gives me a perturbed look, but I'm grateful she accepted the invitation. And as requested, she's dressed like she's ready to go clubbing in a skin-tight dress. Luckily, she wore leggings underneath, but her thigh-high boots are totally hookerish, and so is her furry white jacket. Her makeup is layered on thick, and her blonde hair is a bouffant mess.
You're one of my favorite things,
Danny giggles.
And so is skating.
She charges for me and throws her arms around my neck.
Ram, you're perfect.
I hug her tight and kiss the soft flesh of her neck. So are you. The girls skate a few laps while Andy bitches the whole time. I shoot my brother a quick text. Me, photo attached. Girls' night at the ice rink. It takes Roman 3 seconds to reply. Bro, what the actual fuck is she wearing? Smirking, I ignore his text and continue to watch my girl and her best friend as they wobble over the ice. When Danny stops to come give me a kiss, I whisper in her ear, "You ready to ditch your friend and see the rest of your surprises?" She laughs, but then frowns.
"What about Andy?"
Smirking, I show her my text to Roman. She'll have company soon. My sweet girlfriend gives me a devilish look as she hurries to take her ice skates off. We abandon Andy and rush off to a stage that's off to the side of the rink. A bunch of children are on stage and are caroling. Danny's eyes shimmer with tears. I know I did well planning this all out for her. We make our way through the crowd of proud parents to the front. Song after song, Danny leans against me, singing. My heart seems to expand larger than ever before. But when they start singing White Christmas, my heart aches for my dad. Understanding washes over Danny because she gives me a peck on my cheek.
Christmas songs are my favorite. I'm ready for my next surprise, though.
With a sad smile, I leave the area so I can put that memory behind me. I've been watching the time, but my next surprise hasn't happened yet. I frown in disappointment until I feel something cold hit my cheek. I stop dead in my tracks and pull her into my arms. "Look up." She looks up in wonder as if I had the magical ability to make it snow just for her. Snowflakes dot her pretty face, and again, I wish for the ability to burn this moment into my mind forever. When her shimmering eyes meet mine again, she mouths the words, "Thank you." I give her a nod as if it's no big deal before sliding my palms to her cold cheeks. Our lips meet softly at first, and then I kiss her deeply in front of the crowded shoppers. Her tongue is sweet like the taffy, and I crave to taste her all night long. Someone, who sounds an awful lot like Roman, yells, "Get a room!" And we break away. "Come on," I tell her. "I have another surprise for you." She beams at me as I drag her to the vintage comic shop. I called ahead to make sure they had what I needed. As soon as we make it inside, we cough a little on the haze of incense before Danny gets lost thumbing through used DVDs. I leave her to get my hold from behind the counter that I paid for over the phone. When I make it back over to her, I hold out my present.
"Oh, Ram,"
she says softly and takes the box set from me. "It's only the first season of ER, but I thought we could keep it over at my place since you've been spending time over there a lot. I know it's your
favorite,"
she interrupts, her gaze fiery. I could almost bet if people weren't here, she'd jump me right here in the aisle. "You ready for more?" I question, wagging my eyebrows at her. She stands on her toes.
"I don't deserve more."
This time it's me giving her the fierce gaze. "You deserve everything." I press a soft kiss to her lips and grab her hand. She's quiet as we make our way to JCPenney's. As soon as we walk inside, she starts bouncing.
"You didn't,"
she says in a giddy tone. "It's your favorite," I tease as I guide her over to the home section. The towels are an absolute nightmare as shoppers have made a mess shopping for last-minute gifts. Danny shoves all of her bags into my hands and runs over to the first pile she sees. I lean against a shelf with my hip and watch her as she starts folding towels as if it's her job. For a half hour, she does this. She makes the whole section neat and color-coded. She answers shoppers' questions with glee. In this moment, she's so fucking cute, I can't even stand it.
"Oh my God,"
she whines, forcing herself to step away from another display.
"Folding towels is my favorite."
I laugh and slap her sexy little ass. "Yeah, yeah, let's keep going. I have more." She squeezes my hand as I guide her out of the store and back outside. I lead her over to a kiosk in the middle of the breezeway that sells smoked sausage and
cheese.
Chuckling, I peer with her at the impressive selection. The worker offers her some samples, and she scrunches her nose as she attempts to decide which tastes best. Eventually, she decides the pepper jack cheese is the winner, and I buy her a block of it.
"I can't believe you've done all of this,"
she says, shaking her head in disbelief.
"Who knew a wrong number could go oh so right?"
I wink at her. "You hungry?" She nods.
"Famished. But I still don't understand how you'll find me my last favorite thing."
Shrugging, I guide her through the throng of people toward the restaurants at the end. There are some higher-end places like P.F. Chang's and Olive Garden. There's even a steakhouse that certainly isn't in the budget, but none of those are what I want. Before we get there, she stops at an ornament shop. Her cheeks turn bright pink as she regards me with hooded eyes.
"Can you wait here for a minute?"
Flashing her a crooked smile, I nod. "For you, I'd wait forever." She lets out a sweet sigh before disappearing into the store. It takes more like 20 minutes, but I promised her many more than that. Eventually, she comes out with a triumphant grin and a bag in her hand. I don't ask what's inside because it's clearly for me.
Ready?
She questions. I offer my elbow, to which she takes. We stroll past some restaurants that smell like heaven until we get to Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel?
She asks, her nose doing that cute scrunching thing again. I point at several white-headed people rocking in the chairs out front. Old people. She snorts with laughter and punches me in the arm.
Oh my God, Ram.
It's one of your favorite things, I say in defense. And you know I can't deny you a thing, baby. Especially not your favorite things. Danny then kisses me hard enough to make every single one of those old people blush.
You're okay?
Danny questions as she holds a glittery faux icicle. Does it really matter? She rolls her eyes.
Duh, your tree needs to be perfect.
I chuckle and admire my woman who looks sexy as hell with her hip cocked to one side. Her dainty hand is firmly placed on one hip, red and white striped polish on her nails. Babe, it's the first time Roman and I have ever put up a tree. It could be missing all the ornaments and still be better than we could have ever done on our own. She huffs and hangs the icicle.
I want you to smile every time you see it.
I smile every time I see you, I retort. Her eyes cut over to mine and she chews on her plump bottom lip. My cock lurches in my pants, fully knowing what she can do with those lips. Come here, I tell her, my voice husky. She abandons her decorating for a moment.
Why?
I want to hold you.
Does this holding end with me naked?
Her dark eyebrow is arched in question, but she keeps walking toward me. I lift an eyebrow back at her. Do you want it to? The pink on her cheeks is a dead giveaway.
No.
Lies. Mm-hmm. I placate, but offer my hand. She clutches it and climbs onto my lap, straddling me. I love that she wears these thin leggings all the time because it allows me to feel all of her sweet, soft spots, unlike jeans. My palms caress her round ass as her fingers thread into my hair.
Your bags are gone.
Her eyes are narrowed as she inspects me. I drag my gaze over to the shopping bags from earlier that are discarded on the coffee table. Did you lose one? Her thumbs slide under my eyes.
These bags. You're sleeping more, huh?
My lips lift on one side. I sleep when I'm happy. You make me happy. The sadness that seemed to flash in her eyes melts away as relief takes over.
You make me happy too,
she assures me.
In fact, well, you see,
A buzzer goes off in the kitchen and she scrambles off my lap. I watch her ass jiggle as she runs into the kitchen to pull out the cookies she was making. Eventually, she returns with a plate full of chocolate chip cookies warm from the oven. She fusses over me and won't let me feed myself. I watch her with heated eyes as she delicately breaks off soft pieces and puts them in my mouth. Her serious expression fades to amusement when I bite her finger. I'm hungry for something sweeter, I tell her with a growl. You should take off your pants and let me suck on your clit for a while.
Ramsay!
She shrieks and slaps at me. But my girl, ever the horny one, climbs off my lap and starts giving me a striptease to Santa Baby, which happens to be playing in the background. When she's good and naked, she continues to dance, a wicked grin on her face. Eventually, she sits beside me on the sofa and teases my mouth with her toe. Danny is so unguarded in this moment, so brave and curious, so fucking trusting. I grip her ankle and suck on her toe until she squeals. Then I push her leg until her knee is against her chest. Her silky pink pussy glistens with her arousal. I wasn't lying when I said I was hungry for her. I'm fucking ravenous. I let out a growl of eagerness as I dive into my delightful treat. Her fingers grip at my hair and a low moan escapes her the moment my hot breath tickles her cunt. Using my thumbs, I rub at the outer lips of her pussy before pulling them aside so I can see her clit. It looks swollen and needy for attention, so I give it a little nibble before I suck on it as promised. Her moans are no longer quiet, but more like lioness growls. She squirms and groans with every swirl of my tongue. So fucking sweet, I praise as I sink my tongue into her hot center. She's tight as hell, even on my tongue. My cock aches to take its place.
Ram.
I continue to suck and nibble on every part of her perfect pussy until she's saying my name like a chant. Her body shudders with her orgasm. I make sure to suck on her clit extra hard to make it last a little longer. When she's oversensitized, she pushes me away.
Inside,
she murmurs.
Now.
I smirk at her and lick my lips, enjoying the scorching way she stares at me. Her eyes follow my hands to the bottom of my black-fitted Henley and then settle on my chest the moment I peel it away. Like what you see? I tease. She nods.
I think so, but I'm afraid I'll need to see more to have a more definitive answer.
I give her a smug look as I unbuckle my jeans. When I go too slowly, she sits up and takes over. The woman practically undresses me like I'm a child. I laugh until she pulls me on top of her. I should get a condom, I tell her, my hard dick sliding against the wet lips of her pussy but not entering her. She whines and clutches my cock.
Just come on my belly.
Our eyes meet for a heated moment before I slowly inch into her tight heat. We haven't been exactly responsible sexually, but with Danny, it doesn't really matter to me. I love her. I see myself with her in 10, 20, 50 years. I'm going to marry this girl one day, and I'll put 15 damn babies inside of her if that's what she wants.
Ram,
she hisses when I sink fully into her. She's a small woman, so it always takes her a minute to adjust to the size of my cock. Once her arousal has coated my dick, I'm able to slide in and out of her more easily.
Faster,
she urges, her fingernails dig into my shoulders. I piston my hips into her powerfully, enjoying the way she moans loud enough to irritate the neighbors. Grabbing a handful of her hair, I thrust into her hard and fast like she keeps begging for. Our lips meet, no longer sweet, and we kiss furiously. I can't seem to get enough of her. I want all of her, and then some more. Her body, still worked up from her last orgasm, begins to tighten around me. Short breaths escape her between kisses as she begins to unravel. I groan when her cunt hugs my cock. I'm going to come, I growl and start to pull out. She digs her heels into me to hold me still. My eyes close as pure bliss ripples through me. I let out a hiss the moment my cock starts throbbing out its release. Sure, we're being irresponsible, but apparently she doesn't care either. You don't sleep with someone without birth control unless you love them. She loves me. I know this. No matter how much I want them, I don't need the words. I can feel them even when she doesn't say them. My heat spills completely into her and I collapse on her tiny frame. She plants gentle kisses along my jaw.
Ram,
I hold my breath, waiting for the words.
I need more eggs for the cookies.
Her words are shaky as if she's disappointed in herself. I lift up and give her a warm grin that doesn't quite reach my eyes. You get cleaned up and finish decorating. I'll run out and grab us some, Buttercup. Her frown lifts into a smile.
You're my new favorite thing.
We can take Andy off the list,
she teases. I give her a chaste kiss before sliding out of her hot body. The evidence of our lovemaking trickles out the moment I pull out. I'll be right back, and we can pick up where we left off. She steals her features and glances over at her bag on the table. Determination flashes in her eyes.
Yes, perfect. Get the eggs, and then I have a surprise for you.
An evil grin quirks up my lips. Should I get canned whipped cream and cherries, too? Is this an edible surprise? Her laugh fills the room as she chucks my shirt at me.
Nice try, Ramio. Your surprise is much sweeter.
I lift my eyebrows in surprise.
Cunt for second dessert? And here I thought I was only going to get to taste that pretty pussy once tonight.
Ram!
She shrieks, heat turning her cheeks a dark shade of red. Smirking, I gather my clothes up and head toward the bathroom to clean up. We're going to continue this conversation later. I'll get you to say that word yet, mark my words. She runs after me and bounds into the bathroom on my heels.
No, sorry, Bob, not ever. That horrible word is not in my vocab.
I pull her naked body against me and give her a wolfish grin. Want to make a bet?
A bet against the tricky Ramsay. I don't know.
She teases. We have a conversation where you use the horrible word, I tell her, and then tug at her lip with my teeth. And then I'll eat that pretty cunt every night for dinner for a week. Seems like a winning bet.
And if I don't say the horrible word, she taunts.
I grab her bare ass and lift her up before setting her on the edge of the counter. My dick is hard again, rubbing against her still dripping sex. If you don't, then you won't get my naughty little tongue ever again. She huffs.
Hardly seems fair.
With a smirk, I push inside of her, enjoying the way her fingernails claw at my shoulder. Whoever said I play fair?
Chapter 15. Danny. Stop being so naive. I watch the door shut behind him and I want to run after him. I need more eggs? Really, Danny? I cover my face with my hands, shaking my head. I should run out and stop him, save him from the trek to the convenience store in the snow. It started to come down pretty heavily now, and we are forecasted to get almost a foot of snow by midnight. I walk over to the coffee table where I dropped my bags and shuffle through them until I find the one I'm looking for. I gently pull out the ornament I had made for Ram, and I stare at the personalization. I love you, Danny. The simple round ornament, shiny red in color and filled with glitter and happiness, stares back at me. I guess myself knew I would be too chicken to say it out loud, so thankfully I thought quickly. The second I saw the shop, I knew what I wanted to do. I roll the ornament in my hand, the excitement building inside me. I'm going to tell him I love him. Hi, Ram. I love you. Ram, guess what? I love you too. I love you. Where should we put the star? I giggle to myself, twirling around his living room, the reflection of the ornament catching on the light. I smile big, the fullness in my chest for how much in love I am. Ram makes me feel so many things. Love is just the start. I dance around the tree, repeating the words, I love you, Ram, laughing and smiling like an idiot. The jingling of the door handle perks my ears, and I panic, putting the ornament on the tree. I turn just as the door opens, but it's neither Ram nor Roman. Oh, hello? I stare at a stranger. A woman. Not just any woman, but a drop-dead gorgeous runway model type of woman. She's as tall as Ram, but very delicate and refined. Her smooth, chocolate-colored skin is pretty against her white suede coat. Dark brown eyes encased in long black eyelashes blink at me in confusion. Her full lips part, as if she wants to say something, but then she presses them closed and frowns at me. I stare at her stupidly. When she seems to pull herself together from the shock of seeing me, her features harden, and she lifts her chin in the air slightly. With narrowed eyes, she takes my appearance in with one quick, dismissive glance. Yeah, I was looking for Roman. And who exactly are you? Her cruel attitude does not go unnoticed. I bristle at her words. I'm Ram's girlfriend. And you? I reply, sounding unsure for some strange reason. Her brows raise and her eyes widen at my statement. Pardon me, but did you say girlfriend? She steps closer into the apartment, causing me to step back. Who is this girl, and why does she have a key to Ram's place? You're telling me you're Ram's girlfriend? She asks again, as if not believing me the first time. I am, and you still haven't said who you are. I bite back with a little more backbone this time. She snickers at me, but not in a polite way. I, honey, am the one before you. Used to date Ram, well, until his secret got exposed. Must have a strong stomach to want him after his disgusting addiction. She pauses, her eyes taking me in. Must be why he chose someone so mousy, boring on the eyes. She practically tisks at me. Her insult hits me right where she plans, causing my hands to go up, adjusting my sweater. What secret? And he never mentioned dating someone before me. I'm not sure what you're talking about exactly. Why are you here? I ask again. Her eyes gleam with distaste and her smile is anything but friendly. You don't know, do you? Tsk, tsk, Ramsay. Always keeping secrets. Well, I guess I would too if I got outed for my kiddie porn obsession and fired from work.
I can't even fight back the horrible gasp that leaves my throat. "Excuse me?" I ask, my voice immediately shaking. Her laughter is like acid washing over me. "That's right, little girl. Porn. Got caught with it all over his work computer. I mean, at work. Couldn't even wait to get home. Shame. He had an amazing cock, but no dick is worth that sick shit. Well, maybe if you were desperate for a man." Her eyes skitter over my body, throwing the insinuation at me. My stomach turns like a tidal wave, the cookies threatening to expel. My face has surely lost all color. Child pornography? It can't be true. "I don't believe you," I say weakly. "Don't really care if you do, but it's true. Ask Roman. Fired his own brother himself. Had to have been hard for him. And the embarrassment he held. Good thing I was there to console him. Been there for him ever since." She pulls her eyes away from me to look around the apartment. "He sadly stormed out of work on Friday, so I wanted to make sure he was okay. You know, cheer him up if he needed it." Bringing her eyes back on me, she winks before licking her collagen-filled lips. "Well, tell Roman I came by." She smacks her lips once more, before swaying her hips and exiting where she came from. I'm disgusted and hurt and sick. My chest is heaving, my head spinning with words I can barely process. Child pornography? Fired? My shaky hands grab for my stomach, the sharp pains causing me to buckle over. Child pornography? The world around me begins to spin. He couldn't. Ram isn't like that. He wouldn't. He never told you why he was fired. No. Oh, God, I need to leave. I cannot be here when he returns. I pull myself together as I frantically search for my things. I grab my jacket, knocking over the chair it was hanging over, and shove my feet into my boots. I trip over the pile of bags all over the living room that I'd strewn while looking for the ornament and fall into the wall. I'm starting to struggle to breathe, the panic attack brewing heavily inside me. How could he do this? His lies. He promised never to lie to me. But this is bigger than lies. It's a secret that affects us both. He made me fall so madly in love with him, and he kept such a huge secret from me. I shake my head furiously. You don't know if this is true. That hateful woman had jealousy seeping from her evil eyes. Anyone could see that. She could be lying to me. No way could Ram be into something so horrendous. Stop being so naive. Oh God, could he though? My stomach contracts again at the thought. I make it out and into the heavy snow before I turn, bending over and emptying my stomach. Taking three big gulps of the frigid air, I allow myself just enough time for the dizziness to pass, and then I am running. I slip twice before I make it to my car. It takes me three attempts before my shaking hands get the key into the ignition. I don't even wait for the windshield to defrost before I take off. Child pornography. No, I don't believe it. That's not Ram. Then why did you just run? No. I slam my fists on the steering wheel. Why did he lie to me? After our fight, I told him no lies. He could have come out then, told me it was all lies, but he didn't. Because maybe he couldn't. I shake my head furiously. No. This can't be happening. This is not happening. I'm repeating myself frantically, the snow coming down thick and fast. I know I'm driving way too fast for the slick roads, but I need Andy. I need her to tell me this is all a bad dream. Trying to watch the road, I fire off a quick text, letting her know I'm coming over. Child pornography. Lies. Damn you, Ram! I close my eyes tight as I scream. My car hits a patch of ice, but when I pop my eyes open, it's too late. The car spins out of control. I attempt pressing on my brakes, but it only accelerates the tailspin. I see the snowbank ahead, and with no way to avoid it, I close my eyes and brace for impact. The car slams into the snowbank, jolting my body forward. My head slams into my steering wheel, causing a wave of dizziness to rush through me. I take a few minutes to catch my breath as I look around. There's a sharp pain coming from where my forehead hit the steering wheel, and I raise my hand. Wincing as I pull back, my white glove is now red. Oh, great. I pull my visor down to see a small gash in my forehead, and I break down. I cry. My sobs are so powerful, I begin to choke on each attempt to suck in air. A knock on my window startles me, and I look to see an old man standing outside my car. I take in a deep breath and roll down my window.
Excuse me, miss. Are you okay?
Yes, I'm fine. Thanks.
Are you sure? You're bleeding.
Yes. Have a good night. I roll up my window and find a tissue in my center console, dabbing at my forehead. It takes me a few attempts to pull my car away from the snowbank, and then I numbly drive with more care to Andy's. I barely remember the short drive. I jump out, almost forgetting to put the car in park, and race into her building. I dig into my purse for my keychain and locate the key I have for her place. It causes a realization to practically smack me in the face. That woman had a key. She had to be someone special to Ram to have a key to their place, something he's never offered me. My lower lip is quivering uncontrollably. The tears flowing down my cheeks are clouding my vision, making it hard to get the key into the lock. Come on, come on. I don't want to break down in the hallway or be caught by any of her tenants. Finally, the key slips in and I push her door open. Andy? I cry out. I'm met with a deep groan, causing my vision to veer toward the couch and... Oh my god! Oh fuck! Before I have a chance to cover my eyes, I take in a completely naked Roman rising from the couch. Oh my god, I'm so sorry, I shriek. Andy's head pops up, her eyes wide with shock. Oh fuck. Shit, this isn't what it looks like, Andy spits out.
What do you mean this isn't what...
Roman doesn't get to finish. Andy pushes him off her, causing him to lose his balance. I yelp as he tries to stand, his gigantic manly parts in full view as he trips and falls backward over the side of the couch. Mortified, I turn, preparing to leave. Danny, no, wait, Andy calls after me. Seriously, get dressed and get the fuck out of here, she scolds Roman. When I turn back around, it's just in time for him to offer Andy a scathing glare, before then turning around so I don't have to see his impressive junk anymore. His tight, bare butt cheeks clench as he walks toward the bathroom. Oh, God. I cover my eyes, forgetting the wound on my forehead, and wince. Pulling my hands away, I see Andy throwing on an oversized t-shirt and coming at me. Holy shit, Danny. What the fuck happened? She goes to reach for my cut, but I swat her hand away. Who did this to you? Did Ram do this?
My brother would never lay a hand on a girl,
Roman argues, walking back, now wearing a pair of jeans, but missing his shirt. Dude, no one asked you, Andy snaps. And why don't you have a fucking shirt on?
Because you're wearing it,
he yells back at her. She huffs, turning her attention back to me. Honey, what happened? Her tone is gentler, her eyes shining with concern. I try to speak, but I just start to cry. I was
at Ram's. I knew it. That bastard.
He wouldn't do that.
Roman steps forward. They start going at it, and I step in.
Some woman came over.
Roman stops staring down Andy and turns to me.
Wait, what woman?
He asks.
When?
She didn't tell me her name. She was tall, mocha skin, and beautiful, and...
Chelsea,
Roman states. So they do know her. My heart constricts, my lungs struggling to get in air at each attempted breath.
She said some horrible things.
I can't continue. The sobs are restricting my words.
What did she?
Jesus, why are you still here? Get out! Andy cuts him off.
You have my shirt,
he growls at her. Andy looks around until she spots his jacket. Picking it up, she tosses it at him and says, You're a big boy. I'm sure you won't freeze. Sadly. They go into an uncomfortable stare down until Andy has enough and kicks him hard in the shin.
Jesus, woman!
Roman yells, but Andy opens the front door and pushes him out. Take a hint, dude. And once he's fully outside, she slams the door in his face. Seriously, I have no idea why he was here. She shakes her head.
Andy, really, you don't have to. For real, I can't stand that guy. Fucking stalker. I open my mouth to argue, but I just shut it. Honey, talk to me. You look horrible, and that cut looks bad. What happened? I don't automatically tell her what's happened. I fall into her arms and cry until we find ourselves both on the floor while she holds me. Danny, you're starting to scare me. I know you're upset, but you need to tell me something. I proceed to, as best I can, tell her about my night, how perfect Ram was, the tree, how in love I felt. I told her about the ornament and my plans, and then how Ram left to get eggs when the woman, Chelsea, showed up. Does Ram know why you left? No, I couldn't face him, I just left. That's some crazy shit, girl. I would never pin Ram as a kiddie porn lover. I start to cry again at her statement, because neither would I. Even after, I'm still unsure. But even if I asked, how would I know he was telling the truth? Oh, Danny, I'm so sorry. This is so messed up. I really don't know what to say. It's disgusting, but I don't know. This bitch kinda seems, from how you described her, jealous. Do you think she was just saying it to get you to break up with Ram? I lift my head off her shoulder, feeling disgusted with what I have to tell her. Andy, she told me that she is with Roman now. That's why she was there. I hate myself for having to hurt my best friend, but she needs to know. A look of hurt, then betrayal, shines bright in her eyes. That fucking asshole, she says calmly. I'm sorry, but I thought if you two were, we weren't, like I said. She trails off, doing a horrible job of hiding her disappointment. I hug her again, needing the comfort of my best friend. I start to cry again because I can't stop replaying what happened. Andy convinces me that it's best we go to the ER and get my head checked out, and possibly stitches. I refuse at first, but the pain throbbing in my forehead tells me it is wise to do so. I'll drive this time, she says, trying to make light of my horrible, under-duress driving skills.
Chapter 16. Ram. It's beginning to feel a lot like fuck you. With the carton of eggs tucked under my arm, I whistle as the elevator ascends to my floor. Danny was so cute earlier. Her pasty white cheeks were ruddy with color when the words dangled at the tip of her tongue. Words I knew she wanted to say. Words I craved to hear. And true to Danny, she bailed because she couldn't quite find the words. I'm not bothered, though, because she didn't have to say them. They were glittering in her hazel eyes. I felt them down to my toes. I push my key into the door and push through. Christmas music is playing a lively song, and the loft smells of chocolate chip cookies. I'm dying to pull Danny into my arms and hold her while we watch a movie. Seems like whenever she's not around, my world is empty. Her smile, her heart, her laughter, they all fill me up with a happiness I've never known before. Honey, I sing as I put the eggs into the fridge. I'm home. I hear a soft feminine voice from my bedroom. A chair has fallen over and I pick it up, frowning in confusion. Shopping bags are strewn all over the floor. My heart aches as a sense of foreboding settles over me. Babe? I call out. Everything okay? Again, the voice from my room. Stalking through the living room, I make my way toward my bedroom. The door is cracked and the room is dark inside. I feel as though my heart is going to beat out of my chest. This heavy, unsettled feeling threatens to make me sick. As soon as I push into my dark bedroom, it closes shut behind me. Then Danny's soft hands slide under my leather jacket, her fingernails digging into my flesh. I let out a sigh of relief as I turn in her arms. When I bend to meet Danny's lips, I'm met with a bare collarbone that smells hauntingly familiar. This person is taller, bonier. Not my girlfriend. No. What the f- Bile rises in my throat as pieces begin to snap together. This is not Danny. This is fucking Chelsea. With a hiss of fury, I jerk from her grip and fumble for the light switch. When the light shines upon the bare brown flesh of my ex-girlfriend, I freeze. Why the hell are you in my loft, Chelsea? And furthermore, where is my girlfriend? I seethe, bending to snatch up her clothes that she discarded on the floor. I sling them at her, and then run my fingers through my hair in frustration.
What did you say to her, goddammit?
Chelsea sneers and begins hastily dressing. At one time, this would have been all I wanted. Maybe 3 or 4 months ago, when I was at an all-time low with my depression. Had Chelsea showed up and apologized back then, I'd have taken her back in a heartbeat. I thought I loved her. Now that I have Danny, I understand that what I had with Chelsea was severe infatuation. She was beautiful and fearless and successful. Chelsea knew what she wanted out of life, me and her father's company. But then I was no longer on that list of wants for her. I was discarded the moment she got bored. Chelsea, I growl in warning. She stuffs her feet into her heeled boots after getting dressed and points a manicured nail at me.
I told her about your little addiction.
Triumph gleams in her eyes. I'm going to be sick. I don't have an addiction, I snarl, my hands fisting with the need to pummel the walls. You set me up! She shrugs her shoulders as if sending that shit to me and it getting me fired wasn't a big deal. Any other company would have investigated further, but when your daddy is the owner, things go differently. She let them believe I was a monster, and I didn't argue otherwise.
Ramsey,
she tells me, waltzing over to me as if it's no big deal, she's potentially ruined my life again.
I simply told her what you failed to. Secrets really are a problem for you, aren't they? You just try and hold on to them until you die. Some people hate secrets. I, for one, like them. Like our little secret, the one you hold on to still. It's sweet. Romantic, even. Shows how much you still love me.
I don't love you!
I roar back in frustration. Give me my damn key and get the fuck out of my house! She huffs and locates the key before slamming it down on my desk with a clang.
I didn't come to see you. I came for your brother.
Sickness bubbles up inside me and rage overwhelms me. Leave, stay the fuck away from my girlfriend, stay the fuck away from my brother, and for the love of God, stay the fuck away from me! She glares as she storms off. Before she exits my room, she laughs.
Well, technically, she's not your girlfriend anymore. Bye, Ramsey.
As soon as the apartment door slams shut, I bolt from my room, digging my phone out of my pocket along the way. I knew something was off when I came back. The tipped over chair, Danny's missing purse, bags all over the floor. Everything seemed to be abandoned in haste. I should have listened to my gut. I'm dialing Danny as I scoop up my keys and rush out the door. It rings and rings and rings. Voicemail after voicemail, I beg for her to call me back. That it isn't what she's thinking. But I lied. And if I know my girl, which I do, she's less concerned about the accusations and more concerned with the fact that I kept the entire situation from her. Why the fuck didn't I just tell her why I was fired? She all but asked, and I towed very delicately around the issue. Sure, I didn't blatantly lie to her, but I lied by omission. She flat out told me lying was a deal breaker for her. Fuck. I beat my fist against my steering wheel as I attempt to drive carefully through the snow, while also trying to hurry. It takes 20 minutes longer than usual to get to her apartment. When I finally make it up to her unit, she's not there. I beat on the door for a few good minutes and can even hear her cat, Marilyn Manson, meowing on the other side, but nothing else. Fuck, fuck, fuck. I've missed a couple of calls from Roman, but I can't deal with him right now. I need to find Danny and explain this whole mess. I need her to forgive me. Once I'm back in the car, I head over to Andy's. Danny and I went there once to pick her up for dinner, and I still remember the way. With each passing moment, I grow more and more frantic. I can't lose her. Not now, not after everything. We're in love, and I can't let that get thrown away over such a stupid thing I did. Once I get to Andy's building, I nearly fist pump the air when I see Danny's car. I slip and slide into the building before bounding up the stairs, unable to wait for the elevator. By the time I reach her door, I'm doubled over and out of breath.
Andy, is Danny here? I need to see her!
I shout as I pound the door. Nothing. Crickets. I beat and beat until I realize they're not here. She had to have gone off with Andy somewhere. Jesus fuck. Dialing Danny's number, I bite my fist while I wait for her to answer. So many emotions filter through me. Anger at myself, hate toward Chelsea, bitterness over the unfairness of it all, loss and heartbreak over Danny. I'm just dialing her for the umpteenth time again when Andy calls me. I quickly answer it.
Let me talk to her. You listen here, asshole!
Andy cuts me off, her voice cold and harsh. You lied about some pretty epic shit. Kitty porn, Ram? Fucking really? Listen, you don't No! My friend can't deal with you right now. If she ever wants to hear your sorry excuses, she'll contact you. Stop bothering her. It's over, Ram. Over. Andy, please, just hang up. Danny's hiccuped sob in the background slices through me like a hot knife. Andy, goodbye, Ram. Minutes, hours maybe, days. I'm not sure how much time has passed since I heard her voice through Andy's phone. She was broken. I broke her. And now I don't know how to fix us. My bedroom is dark and I stare up at my ceiling, still fully clothed. I can't stop imagining scenarios of how Chelsea and Danny's conversation went down. Each one, though, I see her crushed expression and it whittles away at my heart. If I keep obsessing over this, pretty soon my heart will be nothing but a pile of shavings, just waiting for the next breeze to blow away and scatter them. The front door swings open and I hear Roman stomp into the house. His tells are always the same. Heavy footsteps, doors slamming, keys and briefcase and whatever other shit he carries around with him getting dropped and discarded along the way. Normally he bypasses my room to go to his. Tonight, though, he knocks on my door. Ram? I don't respond. He pushes through the door and switches on the light. I close my eyes and clench my teeth together. How you holding up, man? He questions, his voice raw with emotion. The chair at my desk squeaks with his weight. I let out a resounding sigh. I'm not. Chelsea breezed in here with the key I never knew she had made and told Danny about the kiddie porn. He groans. Yeah, I was at Andy's when she showed up bawling her fucking eyes out. Did you tell her the kiddie porn was Chelsea trying to set you up? Swallowing, I shake my head. She won't talk to me. Besides, I know Danny, she's smart and wouldn't believe that bitch for a second, but she begged me not to lie to her. I told her I had no secrets, and yet I harbored that one. The chair squeaks again as he swivels. It isn't exactly something you want to offer up, he says in my defense. I shrug my shoulders. She won't let me explain. I've called her no less than 60 times, Roman. He lets out a chuckle, but it's humorless. Chill with the stalker moves, let her calm down. She's just really upset right now. Once she's past the initial hurt, she'll hear you out. Just give her a couple of days. A couple of days? I can't live without speaking to her a couple of hours. There is no way in hell I can survive days without her. That's my only response. Look, he grumbles. I'll explain it to her, the whole story. If she won't listen to you, I'll get her to listen to me. Besides, I need to do some explaining myself to Andy. I squint against the bright overhead light to look at my brother. He looks like shit, tired, stressed out, lost. What did you do? He scrubs his cheek with his palm. I went off and fell into something for her. Like, lust, I don't fucking know what. All I know is I like her mean ass, I like her voice when she yells at me, I like her verbal beatdowns, I like her sexy round ass, and boy do I love her goddamned tits, but... He trails off and scowls. She thinks I've been just fucking around with her. Chelsea told Danny that she and I were seeing each other. Andy was pissed. It's such a clusterfuck, man. Wow, Andy, huh? I thought she hated you. He laughs. She does. That girl can hate fuck like you would not believe. Chelsea is like a damned hurricane. She just obliterates anything in her path. Why'd we have to be in her path? I groan. Not for long, he assures me, an evil glint in his eyes. I've been working on some stuff, stuff I didn't want to burden you with, but things are going to get better for you and I both soon. My phone rings and I jerk to answer it. When I see it's our sister, Reagan, calling through, I send the call to voicemail. What am I going to do? He shrugs his shoulders as he stands. Just try not to beat yourself up. If you can't get through to her, I will. Everything will work out. His words hold a twinge of vulnerability. I know my brother. He says everything he means with confidence, and his last statement had a sliver of uncertainty. Fuck uncertainty. Me. Please listen. Buttercup, I love you. Hear me out. Ignoring me solves nothing. It's not what you think. Jesus Christ, I fucking miss you. Danny, God, talk to me. Buttercup. Stop messaging. You and your cheating, cocksucking whore brother can go to hell. Andy. Day two and Danny still won't talk to me. Me. Tell her I love her, Andy. Buttercup. I would tell her, but that's probably a lie too. For 3 days I've stared at my ceiling. I've memorized all of the sounds of the apartment. The slow, ragged sound of my breathing, the occasional click as the heater switches on, the familiar sounds of football playing on the television as Roman watches it in the living room. I haven't moved much in 3 days. Mostly I rummage around for a cup of coffee or a beer between my ceiling staring sessions. I'm not sure if I showered. I'm sure I don't care. I'm not sure if I've spoken any more to Roman. I'm sure I don't care. I'm not sure I've done a damn thing except obsess over Danny. She's all I care about. My door gets pushed open and for a split second I pray it's Danny. Unfortunately, it's Roman. And fucking Reagan. Groaning, I pull my pillow over my face. What? My little sister sets her purse down on my desk and crawls into bed next to me. She yanks the pillow away and glares.
Not again, Rami. Get out of this bed.
She orders, her pert nose flaring with her words. I roll my eyes and start to turn over on my side. Did he really call in reinforcements? Newsflash, sis, Danny doesn't want me anymore. This is me now. Get over it.
Lucky for you, I'm home for Christmas break.
She grabs my shoulder and yanks me back.
Nope, not again. I remember being helpless the last time you were like this because I was halfway across the country. And the time before that, I was only 14 and couldn't drive to save you. Well, big bro, I'm here and I can drive and I'm not going anywhere until you pull yourself out of this funk.
I flip her off. Told you, Roman says with a huff. He's being a little bitch. I flip him off too. Reagan lets out a huff and cuddles up against me like she used to when she was 6 years old.
Bub, you have to pull your shit together. You scare me when you get like this. Have you seen your face?
Her voice sounds so small and childlike, despite the curse word, that it has me turning to regard my sister. Bright brown eyes stare at me, a mixture of fear and determination flickering in them. I'm fine, I lie. Just go shopping with Mom or whatever it is you two do right before Christmas.
You're not fine.
Reagan always calls me out on my bullshit.
You have dark circles under your eyes, you have a beard almost, and you smell like Roman's dirty socks.
We both shudder. Roman used to get shit all the time from us as kids about his stinky football socks. This time it's our brother who flips us off. I'm fine. I try again. If you get out of my bed, maybe I can get some sleep. Her nose scrunches.
It's 2 in the afternoon. At this point, a shower and food are more important.
Closing my eyes, I ignore them both. I think about Danny, her sweet, shy smile, her twinkling hazel eyes, the way her laugh sounds in my ear, sending vibrations straight down to my cock. Come on, Roman barks out suddenly. Reagan, let's go grab Ram some food. My sister lets out an exasperated sigh before kissing my forehead. Then they both quietly leave my room. I pop my eyes open again and continue my staring at the ceiling vigil. At least when I stare at the white textured surface, I don't imagine the heartbreaking look on her face. I check my phone for the 100th time today. Nothing. Me. I think about you nonstop. I wish you would hear me out, baby. I was embarrassed, so fucking embarrassed. All I ever wanted was to be good enough for you, man enough, successful enough, loving enough. Telling you about how I was fired over such a shitty thing that wasn't even my fault sickened me. I couldn't bear seeing a look of disgust in your eyes. I love you, always. Even if you never come back to me. Dragging my pillow back over my head, I attempt to sleep. Sleep evades me, though. Like always. The only time it doesn't evade me is when she's in my arms, when her tiny body is molded against mine, and I'm free to breathe in her sweet, unique scent all night long. Time passes, not sure for how long, but it is dark when I finally force myself out of bed. I do stink, badly. I manage a half-ass shower. With Danny on my mind, I jerk off under the hot spray, but then give up halfway through. It doesn't mean anything getting off when the one you love isn't getting off, too. After I barely towel dry my messy hair, I find a pair of gray sweatpants that hang low and loose on my hips. No underwear, no socks, no shirt. I can't be bothered by any of it. With dragging feet, I shuffle into the kitchen. I can't remember the last time I ate anything besides a Pop-Tart. My stomach grumbles, but I ignore it. I rummage in the cabinets until I find a bottle of whiskey. I unscrew the lid and take a long pull on the liquid that burns the entire way down my throat. The fire settles in the empty pit of my belly.